In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God says to Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." That's King James. I am that I am. Now, earlier in the book of Genesis, God at different times would say, "I am going to do this," or "I am that." So Abraham understood when God was talking. He said, "I am going to do this. I'm going to do that." And so when Moses said, "Who am I going to say gave me the authority came to come down here to Egypt to set them free?" He said, "You tell them, I am that I am." The one that's been saying I am all along, saying things like, "I am going to bring the children out. I am that one." You tell them that I am sent you. The reason we're pointing this out is because we are made in the image of God. And God knows who He is. I am. Now, in the Hebrew, this takes on a broader, fuller meaning. It's like, I am He who exists. I am He who has always existed. I am existing now. So God is existence itself. A lot of people think that there was no God until there was a world, and somehow the world came into being, and then the gods came into being, or this present reality came into being, and then the gods came into being. But God says, I am the existing one, I am existence itself, I am the one that holds everything together, I created the heavens and the earth, I am that I am, and it doesn't matter whether any of this exists, I still am God, I am that I am. He knows who He is. And what He does is something else. I am. And this is what I do or what I've done. He goes on to say things like, He created the heavens and the earth. He created the stars, the moon. He created the oceans. He's created all living creatures. He has all of these creatures that He brought into existence. And the whole idea is what He does is different than who He is. Yes, He does things because of who He is, but He also, by the way, He's active today because in both Colossians and in Hebrews, remember when the Hebrew people use two things and they repeat it, they're trying to emphasize a point. And in both of them it says, God holds the worlds together by the word of His power. Right now, God is the holding force that brings everything and holds it together. Scientists talk about weak forces and strong forces. And the odd thing is they said, well, positives and negatives that attract each other, or, you know, like positive and positive will repel each other and opposites will attract. That's actually a weak force, because when you get into the middle of an atom, you have protons which should be pushing themselves apart. But there's a strong force, and those neutrons that's in there holds those protons together. Well, if that's so, then how come whenever it gets up to a larger scale, all at once the strong force within the atom can't keep magnets from pulling themselves together, opposites attracting and positives pushing apart? If there's strong forces at the very center of those atoms, why aren't those strong forces multiplied when you multiply a magnet and actually make it big enough that you can see it? Those strong forces should also exponentially be getting stronger, but they're not. The Bible tells us, and I believe the Bible, that God Himself holds things together. And you know, in the future when it says, behold, there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and old things shall pass away with fire and melting and all that stuff. The actual Greek in there is going on with the idea that it's not just that it falls apart. Yeah, that's the idea actually, is the cohesion, that which is holding it together will cause it to break apart, and that which is holding it together will quit holding and it all spins apart. God's word of power is what's holding us together, and at some time in the future He's just going to say to that power that's holding the atoms themselves together, stop. And all the atoms and protons and neutrons and electrons will go, and they'll separate. And then at some point he'll say, new heavens, new earth. And everything comes together and we've got everything, a brand new creation going along. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because we are created in the image of God. We need to know things like who we are. I've been to, you know, various meetings like business meetings, grocers meetings, and where they bring in heads of departments from all over Southern Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, different places. And they'll come together and people will walk up and they'll say, hi, who are you? I'm Doyle Williams. And then the next question is, what are you? They want to know, are you a grocer? Are you a meat cutter? Are you a produce person? Are you assistant manager? Are you the manager? The checkout boy? Are you the bag person? What are you? And see, that's where the flaw comes. That's where we need to watch out. It's easy. Who are you? I'm Doyle Williams. But we got to be careful what we speak when they say, who are you? Or even if they just say, what do you do? As though that is what defines you. Don't let that happen. Know who you are. I am Doyle Williams. That's who I am. What are I? I are a child of God. That's what I are. I am a child of the I am. And I am a child of I am. I am a child of I am. We're getting, me and my dad are getting more alike. I am, he is, we are, I am. That's who I am. And I cannot let what I do define me. And a lot of people confuse what they do. They evaluate themselves according to what they do. And that's not right. Do not let yourself be defined by what you do. I know, or how much money you got, by the way. You know, I know people say, well, I'm a banker. Well, la-dee-da, yay, you're a banker. I'm glad to hear you're a banker. Way to go. I'm a farmer. Yay, you're a farmer. Hope you're a good one. Way to go. There's nothing wrong with what they do, but there comes a time in a lot of people's life when they retire or for whatever reason they have to give up what they're doing and they lose their identity. And that's why a lot of people, when they retire, they lose their identity and they no longer know who they are. They have no reason to live because they never realize, I am a being. And I exist because God calls me into existence. He formed me in my mother's womb, and I have value in and of myself that He thought so much of me, He sent His Son to die for me. I have value. And it's not just because I'm farming that I produce, and that causes me to be valuable. I have value just because I am. God, I am. Well, I am His Son. He has value and I have value. Intrinsic value in the very fact of who I am. And these people lose their identity and they just give up. They have no reason. It's just like, I've had several of them that I used to deliver groceries to and they quit. They were healthy, running around doing all sorts of stuff, working, you know, 40, 60, 80. They worked harder than I did. Well, I'm retiring. 6 months later, I talked to him. How's it going? Oh, whatever you do, don't retire. I was healthy when I had reason to get up and I was going and going. And I don't have anything to do, but now all I do is sit and watch soap operas and I don't even like soap operas. And this is the guy is talking to me. And then they'll go on later and they'll say, don't retire, Doyle. No matter what they tell you, do not retire. Don't quit doing what you're doing. Because once you do that, all you do is just go to the doctor's office. And then within 2 years, they're gone. They quit identifying as having value and they devalued themselves in their own eyes and therefore their health and everything started plunging. When somebody says, who are you? Say, I am a child of God. I have value within myself. And if you don't want to be that bold about it, it's all right, but at least say it to yourself once in a while. I am a child of God. I want to read to you out of Romans 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. That this is the word of faith which we preach. There are people who are word of faith preachers, and they emphasize this idea, and a lot of some of it I can agree with. Let's not get into doctrine right now. But the idea of what you speak is the reality, is becomes who you are. That's why I say we need to say out loud. You noticed I've said that a lot since I've been here. Say out loud. Speak it out loud. You've got to believe it in your heart, and you've got to speak it. As a result, you have salvation. Therefore, you become what you are. You become saved when you say, I believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. I trust Him. I believe in my heart. I trust Him. I am saved. The result is you're saved. We become what we say we are. That's why we need to be very thoughtful of who am I? Am I just a grocer? No. Am I a teacher? No. That's what I do. But who I am a child of God. And I have reason to exist even when I give up the doings of my life that I've been engaged in. Even when I give up the doings of that, I still am a child of God. I still have value. I still have a reason to live. I still contribute to this community. I still contribute to this nation, and I contribute to this world. Not just taxes, but rather I have something that I can give, something that I can do for the benefit of others. One lady I know, active person, and finally, you know, she just got older and older and older, and finally she just really got where she couldn't function at home. She was needing 24-hour care, and it just got to that point, and she knew it, so she checked into a nursing home. She said, I want my rocking chair, and they took the rocking chair to the nursing home, and the kids talk, you know, they come in and visit. Are you all right, Grandma? Are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You see, she said, I've now got time because I don't have to take care of the house. I don't have to do the washing. I don't have to wash the windows. I don't have to vacuum. I don't have to cook. I don't have to worry about counting out my medicine and making sure everything was okay. I have now got time to sit in my rocking chair and sit there and rock and pray for you. I can pray for my grandkids. I can pray for my kids. I can pray for my church. I can sit here and I can pray. That woman has a reason to exist, but she knew who she was from the get-go. I'm a child of God and I have value. And just because I'm not out there farming or working in a factory or running a nursing home or being a nurse or etc., I still have value, and there are still things that I can do that are valuable. I'm going to sit right here in this chair and I'm going to rock and I'm going to pray for my family, my church, my nation, my people. I'm going to ask God's blessing. We need more rockers. We need more rockers, people who understand and start going after the presence of God and seeking God's blessing or whatever it is that God leads them to do after they leave this workaday world that they're in. We have responsibility to be doing. Adam himself, before he fell, had a responsibility. Even when he was sinless, he didn't just sit around. God said, Adam and Eve, you've got a responsibility. You are to tend my garden. Part of the tending actually means to guard. You are to guard my garden. Guard it from who? This little slippery thing came up and started talking to them, and they should have been guarding the garden against that evil that came in. Okay, so they didn't do their job perfectly, but they had a job before they sinned. They had a job before they fell. We have jobs that we are supposed to be doing. It doesn't define us, but we all have responsibilities, and we need to depend upon God for our provision and still do our jobs. There are people, missionaries, which we've been reading, who have jobs to do as missionaries. God's called them to that, and they're trusting Him to bring provision to them because they're not working in a factory and other pursuits of cash. But they're trusting Him, and then God uses and blesses Glenwood because we hear what He says, and we help these people with their cash flow, which is a very positive thing to do. We have responsibilities, they have responsibilities, and we all need to depend upon God as our resource and our provider, while we're doing whatever it is we're doing. As a matter of fact, in 2 Thessalonians, I'll just tell you what it says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "He who doesn't work doesn't eat." Everybody should have something they're doing. That lady was doing by rocking in that chair, and that was something that was her responsibility, and she took it seriously, and she prayed for her family every day in that chair, every day, every day, every day. That was her responsibility. We have responsibilities. We're not supposed to just become idle where we do nothing and just mooch off of people. One time I was working. I know that's hard to believe. I was at Clay City at the time, so I was actually working over there. And this guy comes through, and all he did was pick up junk. Junk, cans, it didn't matter. He picked up junk. And somebody said, "Well, you know, all he is a junk picker-upper, a rag picker." You know, I said, "What is wrong?" I did. I said, "What is wrong with that? It's a good and honest job. If it wasn't for him, think what this place would look like with all the trash and junk that people throw here. He's picking it up. He's recycling it. He and his children have nothing to be ashamed of for what he's doing, because he's doing what he can and it's contributing to us. It would be different if he was filthy rich and doing meth. I would rather have him picking up trash than out making meth and making $80,000 to $90,000 a year doing something like that. Just because you're making money doesn't mean that you're valued." That guy was doing a positive job. That guy had no shame, even though his job isn't rated right up there. I stopped to think, what would this place look like if we never had a janitor come in all these years? God bless the janitors and the junk picker-uppers, wherever they are. But we don't see it as a glamorized position. God actually, let's not go there. They are important people. And therefore, if we aren't doing something, God says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And it says this, the King James uses, this is a commandment. But there's the Greek really doesn't mean it's a commandment, as in thou shalt. It's an announcement. That's what the root word means. Here is a message from our sponsor, God. Don't work, don't eat. And it's just left like that. And that's the way it should be. Paul says, this is an announcement from our sponsor, God. Don't work, you don't eat. And let it go at that. We have things that we can do. And if you say, I can't because of this, this, and this, you can pray. You can pray. So you've got something to do, do it. But do not let what you do define who you are. Because who you are a child of God. You are a child of God Himself. And I'm going to read to you again in just a minute, because I want you to confirm this within yourself. Are you really a child of God? Or are you just a churchgoer? There is a difference. We might all look the same because we're all in the same field, or you know, we look kind of like the same crop going on. But we know according to the scripture that there's wheat and there's tares and they're all sowed together. And I'm asking you this, consider this. Are you really a child of God, or are you a tare, which is a weed? John chapter 7, verse 38. John 7, verse 38. And Jesus is talking. He's up on the Temple Mount. And it's during one of the high holy days that's going on. And it's when they're pouring water on the altar in Jerusalem. And Jesus makes this announcement. Okay, I'll start in 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. So it doesn't mean he just said. He cried it out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Are you a child of God? Now here's the way you can look at this. I had somebody come in the other day and was talking to me about an avid churchgoer. And they said, you know, that person is the reason why I quit attending church. Because they are hateful, despiteful. And the person they were talking about is a big wig in a church, you know, and they are resentful, they are unforgiving, they are manipulative, they will walk on you if they get the chance. I know other people who, big names, people recognized them as wealthy, and I was told by somebody, I said, don't trust them. And I said, why? And they said, because they will be your friend until you are, till they squeeze what they think they can get out of you, which doesn't necessarily mean cash, just whatever it is they're needing. And then once they have squeezed you like an orange, taking all the juices they think from your life, they will throw you to the trash and they will stab you in the back. And I said, oh, that person spoke truth. I know this to be a fact. I have experienced it. Yep, there are people that way, and yet those people also are very involved in a church, and they really believe that people like them, respect them, and these people get talked about. People within the church say, it's not worth the fight, because these people are bullies, vocally bully you, they will undercut you, they will backstab you, etc., etc. And in their wake is just dearth and destruction, and you know, they should look behind them and see what kind of a trail they have left from where they have flowed. Jesus said, if you believe in me and you drink from me, you will have rivers of living water flowing from your innermost being, not intermittently. Now, when I was in, if you ever get the chance to go to Israel, go. When I was over there, they took us by a wadi. A wadi is just a dry creek bed out in the desert. And they say, now, you're 8 miles from Jerusalem. It's all dry here. This is a very scary place to be, because you don't know if it's coming a toad strangler. In Jerusalem, you've got so many minutes before all that water from Jerusalem will form, come to this wadi, and shoot down through here to the Dead Sea, and it will be rolling boulders the size of Volkswagens. And if you're walking down this wadi and that water comes, you have nowhere to go because the sides are like this. And that is not what Jesus is talking about. Christians are not a flash flood where boom and we just roll Volkswagen boulders down in front of us, crushing everything in front of us. He says we will be rivers of living waters, not wadis, but rivers of living water. You should be able to look behind you and see a positive influence of where you've gone and where you've been. People who should say, I am refreshed. I have been encouraged because that person crossed my path or I crossed their path. They are an encouragement to me. Trees grow along rivers. Wildlife comes to rivers. Fish swim in rivers. There's abundance of stuff going on around a river. And we as Christians should be those people who are a blessing flowing from us in our wake where we go. People should say, it was a good thing that that person crossed my path. I am happy to see them. They are an encouragement. They are refreshing. They are just like the dew out of heaven. Wax as poetic as you like. Turn around and look behind you. What kind of path have you been leaving as you lead this life? How is it affecting the people around? Are you just using people and discarding them? Are you rolling over people to get ahead? Are you standing on their shoulders to get a promotion and you think that they should be happy? They're the little people that help boost you up. They should be happy for you. Know who you are. You should be a Christian. You should be an I am, a child of God. And a river is flowing from me that causes refreshment where I go. People are encouraged because they have met me. I am. God is I am. And I'm so glad I met Him. And we should be little bitty I ams where people are saying, I'm glad I met them. I am glad I had them in my life, even for a while, because they were good to me. Now, at this time, if the elders would come forward, we are going to have the Lord's Supper. And keep this in mind. What we're doing here is not just eating the bread, but we are going to be drinking. Come to me and drink. As we drink this, reflect. I am here drinking of this contract. And if it's true, then rivers of living water should be flowing from me. I should be a blessing wherever I go. Okay, we're not perfect, but we should be a blessing, and there should be encouraged people and encouragement around us. And when you take this drink, consider that. Am I a blessing? And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." We ask you to bless this the way Jesus did, so we would understand exactly how it was to affect our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." People that sought after, just like
deer panting after water. We will become those people who are refreshing to this community. All glory and honor to your Son who made it possible. Thank you for sending him. Bless this cup in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing hymn number 212.
Sacrifice, a plan of salvation that we might accept and know him and have faith in him and praise him as a living and heavenly Savior. We thank you today for all that you do for us. We especially thank you for this church, our pastor. Pray that you guide and direct in all things said and done here. Be with us now as we go from this place and help us to be better Christians and better witnesses for you. We also pray that you'll be with this great nation and pray that you might bring it back to where it began as a nation that knows and believes in the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.